cosecho pipis alegre. Siembra una llanura de patata y fresas. Ojalá que llueva café.
Broadcasting program yet, apparently. So sorry about the tiny preview of Massive Attack's Teardrop, which is probably the next song that will get played one way or another. So yeah, welcome to the first weekly edition of whatever this show ends up being called with Jick, Jick's self, and Jick. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the format of this is going to be. I'm assuming that it will sort of choose its own role. The way many things choose their own roles. But a lot of things I'm probably going to say, like, hey, I will answer this on the next Monday show. This one's a little weird because the next Monday show is probably going to be done by me talking to no one at all tonight, late, after I've had many beers. Because Mr. Skullhead, whose name doesn't start with J, we're both going to be gone. He's going to be off camping in some northern state, Minnesota, perhaps. Miranda's telling me my voice levels are a bit low, so everybody get ready. I'm going to turn up my mic. And my mic is turned up as high as it'll go. I'm still getting nothing on these two little bouncing bars here like the music does. I wonder if there's some kind of... Well, we'll see if that's any better. What was I talking about? I don't remember what I was talking about at all. Yeah, anyway, I'm going to be gone from, you know, tomorrow until, like, Monday, late Monday night for my cousin's wedding, and Mr. Skullhead is off... probably doing a lot of drugs in the forest with some hippies. And, yeah, so I'm going to try and record a something like a show. I don't think I even actually have any software that I can use to do it. I wonder if this broadcasting program that I picked up today and I'm using to talk to you right now, which I know it's good because that's what iSpeculum uses. It's every time I'm at iSpeculum's house, I'm really drunk, and every time I'm at iSpeculum's house, I watch him on the radio, and he uses this stuff, and it's cool. So yeah, I have a feeling that during this show I will play some music because that'll kind of give me a chance to collect my thoughts in between the questions and stuff. The idea and the sort of reason that I decided to do this show in addition to our Monday show is that this would kind of be a place for the people who want to ask really kind of nerdy technical questions, because that's the kind of thing that I like to do. And I'd rather Monday's show be a little more fun, more community-oriented, that kind of thing. What I'm going to do this time, I think, is just going to go ahead and go through the Radio Bugbear messages. Some of these came in and probably were intended for next week's Monday show, but since I'm doing that anyway, then this will just cut into that. This is going to be weird. I have no idea how the thing that I record tonight, unless I end up not recording anything tonight, is going to turn out. But, yeah. So, GodTheMod2 says, back in November, you mentioned a favorite food, randomly chosen after a quest that would give you benefits. Still going to happen? I still like that idea. I like the idea of there being something that is sort of tailored to your character. There are a lot of foods that are balanced now, so like the burritos. There's actually another question about the burritos right after this. You know, there's now a muscle burrito, a mysticality burrito, and a moxie burrito, and it would be neat. Like, you know, let's say one or the other of the pizza for your primary stat, or the burrito for your primary stat, or the guts and herbs drink for your primary stat, drink food. Became, you know, you got some kind of flag that was like, oh, this is your favorite thing ever, and gave you, you know, it became as good as the best one of those, you know, just a little bit of randomness, giving you a little bit of an extra bonus in there. We've been talking about ways to make it so you get rewarded somehow for having kind of a balanced diet, and also a lot of Marshall's ideas lately for PvP consumption contests, rather than just being pure numbers consumed that it's comparing, he's been talking about setting it up as a percentage, so that like newbies have a chance against people who've been playing for a long time. Like it's harder for them to maintain their percentage because they're going against everything that they've ever eaten or drank to do that. And I thought about making it such that whenever you eat something, it looks at everything you've eaten in the last week. And if the thing that you're eating is over, you know, the quantity of that thing is over a certain percentage of all the things that you've eaten in the last week, that you start to get diminishing returns. I think in a lot of ways, though, that would just make a lot of people angry. I would rather frame it as some kind of bonus of, you know, a few adventures for having a balanced something that has a lot of variety. Variatus? Varied? Yeah, varied, I think, is exactly it, and I'm ashamed of myself for overlooking that. Give you a bonus for having a diet that contains a lot of different things. The thing is, though, part of the reason that we wanted to do this is because there's something in the game, and this I know that people are driven crazy by this. Every time there's something in the game that becomes just this really like optimized strategy. Every time I notice that there's a really specific way to like min-max things, I feel like I should make that not work anymore. Like I feel like there should be multiple ways to succeed. And anytime there's one, you know, I didn't want there to be an absolute best drink anymore. So the booze revamp took care of that. Like there's now a best drink for every stat that you're trying to gain. There's a best drink depending on, you know, where you're adventuring, what you're getting, whatever. But there is no single thing. Well, I mean, apart from like the weird off things like especially salty dogs or whatever. Yeah. Where was I going with this? The whole reason that I wanted to do the like varied diet is so people wouldn't just be min-maxing and like only eating whatever the best food is now, like the chow mains or whatever. Which it kind of sucks, the situation with chow mein right now, because the whole reason that I did that, it was always supposed to be the case that the best foods required collaboration between pastamancers and sorcerers, but those foods got duped so extensively that I put in the chow mains. And they're much more complicated. So it works itself out in hardcore because there are so many more steps to the recipe. But I didn't want it to stay like this. And I think it might be time to reevaluate the recipes that actually require both. Especially now that people can ascend and get both of those skills. I mean, it's not going to be as hard to get them once you're not once you're like, you're going to decide to do this and that's all you're doing, but like for the times when you're not just ascending over and over again, collecting things or, you know, trying for leaderboards or whatever. Yeah. So there's 10 minutes on that question. And that's the first question. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Whilst You Sleep says, "Hey guys, I think that the bean bat chamber in the bat hole should have all three types of beans. It would make sense and make it harder to obtain the enchanted bean to get the beanstalk." I don't necessarily think that the bean bat chamber should have all three types of beans, but they should be equally easy to find, or equally hard to find, however you want to look at it. Whether you're a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of guy, or a, hey, I ordered a cheeseburger kind of guy. Or the engineer kind of guy that says the glass is exactly twice as big as it needs to be, which was always my favorite of those guys. Yeah, I mean, that's there should be more things like that. I don't want to go through and do with the food and cooking system what I did with the booze and cocktail system. Because, well, first of all, you can fake it a lot with making drinks and have them still kind of make sense. I mean, I was able to sort of organize things into a coherent framework, and they're all things that it's possible that somebody would want to drink those things. I mean, you know, whiskey and cherry juice or whatever, I don't know. But with food, it's a little more complicated, and I would like for food to be a little weirder, a little less of a known quantity, because, you know, the I want food and booze to be different things, and the whole, you know, you can overdrink, but you can't overeat thing differentiates them in a certain way. And apparently there's, it is apparently the case, and there's been a lot of murmurings of this amongst the dev team, and, you know, there's a situation that may or may not require action. Apparently, in the post-ascension world, booze is considerably less valuable than food, because it seems like teetotaler ascensions are just as fast, if not faster, than no-path ascensions, which indicates that something is wrong. And what is wrong is sort of a point of some contention, because a lot of people are saying that it's like the cocktail crafting recipes aren't worth doing in terms of their yield, but they aren't any more or less worth doing than food recipes. A lot of that, I think, comes from the fact that bartenders in the box are a lot harder to get than chefs in the box. There's a lot more risk associated with it, and realistically, there probably shouldn't be. I mean, there's no reason for it to be, you know, sort of dangerous to be able to effectively use the cocktailing system and not dangerous to be able to use the cooking system, in hardcore at least, but... You know, and then there are people on the other side of it saying, like, no, you don't even need a chef. You know, why would you need a bartender? Like, it's going to be worth it in the long run for you to do this, even though every once in a while you will make a cocktail that doesn't give you, well, okay, you'll make a cocktail and it will give you exactly as many adventures as it would have if you hadn't spent a turn making the cocktail, if you had just consumed the ingredients separately. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at that, because obviously if it's more desirable to be a teetotaler than no path right now, and maybe people have some insight, maybe send Radio Bugbear some messages about how you feel about that, because there might just be some stuff that I'm missing, you know, there might be some stuff that I'm not aware of, because as I said, I don't play Kingdom of Loathing. I don't really care for it. I think it's boring. So I like working on it, but I don't really like playing it. So I might be out of the loop to a certain extent. let's see, what do we have next in the questions? Changling Bob says, "Good day, JNS." Good day, and on behalf of Mr. Skullhead, I will also say good day. I say good day! "I was wondering how many times you've beaten NetHack, or how far you've got, anyway." I've never beaten NetHack. I have made it to Medusa's Island maybe twice. No, in fact, I think I've made it to Medusa's Island exactly twice. I've made it to the quest level maybe four times. I made it down into Gehenom or whatever those maze levels are once. But I suck at NetHack. I don't have the patience. You know who's good at NetHack, though, is that Xenophobe. That is a NetHack playing son of a bitch right there. That is. Simon Smith says, and this is something that I would actually like to get people talking about, "Suggestion for the miscellaneous section of the inventory. New sections for cooking ingredients and then usable and non-usable miscellaneous items." Riff when we were working on the division of the inventory, Riff was very adamant about creating a section of the inventory for things that were just cooking ingredients. And the reason that I didn't do that, and I still feel like this is a good reason to not do it, is because not... if there was a category in the inventory that was cooking ingredients, that category would not be comprehensive, because a lot of cooking ingredients are food, and unless the food was also supposed to show up on the cooking ingredients page, which, you know, maybe that's the solution. Maybe that's less unacceptable than I think it is. Less, or I mean, not unacceptable, but maybe that's less annoying than I think it would be. You would see a list of your cooking ingredients, but not all of your cooking ingredients would be on there, because not all of your cooking ingredients are things that you can't also eat, or you can't also do something else with. And so I just felt like if the division wasn't going to be clean, then the division wasn't worth dividing. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that would excite people terribly to do it that way. And maybe I should put other cookable food items in there. I mean, then, you know, we could do the same thing with smithable items, but I'm resistant to things appearing on more than one inventory pane, because as it stood before, every single thing that appeared on more than one inventory pane, we would get dozens of bug reports about. Like, people just say, why is the enchanted barbell in the food and drink section all the time? It also shows up in miscellaneous. This is obviously an error. And, you know, it wasn't an error. And it was just something that was confusing. And so I want to try and avoid things in the future that are confusing in exactly that way. Let's see. Wow, I'm only on the first screen full of questions, and I'm like eighth of the way or sixth of the way through the show already. This is working out pretty well. I am still, no matter how many questions come in, I have a feeling that I am still going to want to take, you know, two or three breaks over the course of the show to play a song so that I can go get another beer or deposit another beer into the toilet, which is where I have to take them when I'm done with them. Alright, Fish Chew says, two questions. First, why are key limes the same size as normal limes when they're smaller in real life? Well, it's a question of scale. Like, you know, why is a lime the same size as a sword? It's not. It's just that in the picture of the lime, the camera is zoomed in further. And same deal. With the picture of a key lime, the camera is zoomed in further on it than it is in the picture of the regular lime. Second, how about when out of Ronin, a remove all items button in Hank's? The take everything out of Hank's link has taken over for the manage your custom outfits link as the most invisible feature in Kingdom of Loathing. Because I get, this is one of the, I get, you know, every week I get four or five requests for a take everything out of Hank's, and thanks to Boozer Bear's wizardry, there already is a take everything out of Hank's button that appears after you're out of Ronin. So there you go. Armac has some good suggestions here. He says, can you please make the clan calendar clickable? Opening a page with the KOL month, holidays, etc. on it would be tray handy. We are going to do that, and we're going to do that as part of a kind of a big calendar project. The idea is that we want there to be a recurring KOL calendar holiday in every single KOL month, so that there will be just like something different or something interesting going on every week or every 8 days. And also, for a long time I've been meaning, and this is something that really wouldn't be that hard, and I don't know why I haven't done it, is, well, actually I know partly why I haven't done it is because I haven't wanted to gather the artwork for it. Calendars that you can purchase and put up at your campsite that give you extra adventures. I mean, I was thinking that there would be one that was sold in the Demon Market, which clued you into the mechanic that calendars are something that give you extra turns by being something that just gives you one extra turn if it's in your campground. And then you would be able to find different calendars because, you know, we could have... It would be neat to have a bunch of different ones just in tiers that were like sort of, you know, hey, there are a few calendars that are like two adventures a day, and then there's a few that are three, and then some that are four, and then maybe there's an ultra rare calendar that's like a five. But that would suck, actually, if it was an ultra rare, because since calendar stuff or campsite stuff goes away when you ascend. Maybe they'd be removable, and maybe Ascension would have to remind you. Ascend.php would remind you that you needed to take your calendar out of there. That would be sufficient, I think. Yeah. But, you know, then I was thinking, there's a lot of really cool artists, and if I sort of solicited different calendar designs, maybe we could even open a calendar store, you know? I mean, it would just be something like, because you could charge like 100,000 meat for a +3 adventures a day, and people would want it. And, hell, maybe I could even work out something with the artists where they got a percentage of all the ones that were purchased. That would be interesting, because it would still sink some meat, but it would encourage people to want to put together sets of calendars. Huh. Yeah. The more I think about that right now, the more it excites me. Anyway, but that calendar would definitely display in some big way what day it was. And you'd probably be able to click on it for, like Armex suggests, a month. And, see, Mr. Skullhead and I, when we first came up with the whole idea of the KOL calendar, we were like, you know what we should do? We should just write, like, hundreds and hundreds of on this day in history things and just sort of, you know, kind of make stuff up and fill out a sort of, you know, Tolkien scale history of the Kingdom of Loathing. But turns out that's tricky to do. It's not as easy as just writing random crap, because, you know, it's weird. It's easy for us to write stuff for this game, I think, because we always have something to write about. It's like, okay, here is an X, describe it. And we can describe it in some funny way. Or, you know, we need to accomplish this. What is a way that you would get injured? What is a way that, you know, you would acquire some currency? But it's not like, just like, hey, why don't you come up with an idea and do something? Like, I mean, I guess we have to do that, too. We have to come up with ideas. But a lot of times anymore, especially because the game, you know, is kind of finished, and most of the mechanics that are going to exist in it already exist in it, it's like filling in gaps, or it's like trying, you know, doing things that are interesting that are just combinations of things that already exist or whatever. I'm going to, I think, play a song, take a little break, catch up on the questions, and I will be back with you kids in just a minute. Here's Massive Attack with Teardrop. wasn't that nice. That is one of my favorite songs of all time. Because, and you know, curiously enough, I really don't like Massive Attack all that much. That song, though, for some reason, is different and better than all of their other stuff, as far as I'm concerned. You know, part of it is that I can't stand Tricky. I like him as he was good in The Fifth Element. Of course, everybody was good in The Fifth Element. To all you Fifth Element haters out there, you know, I like The Fifth Element. The Fifth Element was good. And, you know, since I occupy a position of authority, that means that the Fifth Element is actually good, objectively, because I'm the one who gets to decide that kind of thing now. Not really. I can't really tell at what point in these questions the show started. But I'm going to go through a few more. Mr. Fishy asks, and this was from today, so I don't know if it was today and Mr. Fishy is listening, or today and Mr. Fishy is long gone. Why are there no peppermint schnapps, and can you make some? And I thought, hey, why don't you make the, and by you I mean me, why don't I make it so you can combine, or you can cocktail craft fermenting powder with candy canes to make peppermint schnapps? Because candy canes aren't rare, really. There's nowhere to get them in normal gameplay. So like that could make a relatively high powered cocktail, and I'm gonna write that down with a pencil, apparently, an actual old wooden No. 2 Papermate pencil, which I don't know where this came from. Peppermint schnapps. Okay. Morbank asks a bunch of good questions. Hi, Jake and Mr. Skulled. How about the arena doing an inventory check before giving out the 10-round prize? Getting a lead necklace in hardcore when you need 5 pounds bites. Well, you know, that is one of the things that I really feel like, just for the sake of the game, should be left to the mercy of the random number generator. It's not like you're getting nothing. You know, you're getting 10 rounds in the arena worth of your familiar getting heavier. You know, and if you get him all the way up there and you still haven't gotten the 5-pound thing, then, you know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be that run. He also asks, this being Morbank, will there eventually be stainless and plexi shirts? If they already exist and no one has gotten them, just talk about how much you love vagina. That's pretty presumptuous of you to assume that I love it. You know, I like it, but I've always felt that, you know, you should love your work like your vagina. Or is that backwards? Or is vagina supposed to be replaced with wife? Or is your wife supposed to be replaced with a vagina? I guess the answer to that question depends a lot on how long you've been married. You know, I've never been married. I assume that there are a lot of horrible things about it, though. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm a terrible misogynist. Morbank also says, a question for Jick's tech show. Do you use a load balancer? He said load balancer. For the KOL servers, or is the server picked randomly? I often find that the servers vary greatly in their speed. And if the RNG tells us anything, it's that many things suck when left to odds. Ah, spoken like a true power gamer. Okay. There is no load balancer, and the reason for that is... I feel like, for the most part, the way that load balancers work is they, on a given web request, they choose whichever server is under the least intensive load, and they redirect that specific request to that server. And that won't work for Kingdom of Loathing, because the server that you log into has to be the server that you play on, because that's where your login session is stored. It used to be that the redirect on the front end would send you to another server based on how many people were logged into each one. That turned out, though, one of the big technical hurdles I have here is the table that keeps track of who is logged on at any given time is just a son of a bitch in terms of database load. And the one time that I tried to convert it to the
to the data format in MySQL that allows transactions and that does row-level locking. And when I did that, it just screwed up and started. It did that thing that MySQL does sometimes or MySQL does sometimes. I don't know which one is correct, and I tend to alternate back and forth whenever there are variant pronunciations of things that are both acceptable. It did that thing that it does when a table gets corrupted, where you can add new rows, but you can't delete rows, and that sucks. Because what that did then is like every, I don't know what I've got it set, like it's maybe every 45 seconds or a minute, if you're still active and performing some action, like running any script in KOL, if it's been either 45 seconds or a minute since the last time it updated your row in the table that keeps track of who's online, then it updates that row. Yeah, so there are so many people doing that all the time that table is constantly locked and there are constantly scripts hung up waiting for access to that table. And the thing is, it's not particularly important. I wouldn't have to keep track of that at all if it weren't for the chat. And because it's such an integral part of the chat, because you can, you know, tell when your friends are logged on and it sort of allows a community to exist, it can't be gotten rid of. So, yeah, I need a better solution for that particular problem. Doing a whois in chat is probably one of the most intensive operations you can perform in the game, and it's something that you wouldn't think would really cause any problems at all. One thing that'll be handy is when, and this actually I feel like is, I don't know if it'll happen before the con in September, because it's, I feel like we're going to be doing a ton of work preparing for this. Things are about to change really dramatically for asymmetric publications. As soon as I get back from the trip that I leave on tomorrow morning, we have an office and we have staff and there will be people here, and I'm suddenly at the helm of a company rather than just being some guy in the apartment above his garage that's working on this game. And the change happened pretty gradually, but it's really hitting home next week. And, you know, to be honest, I'm a little freaked out. I think in the set of questions that when I requested questions for the pre-recorded Jick and Skullhead show for next week, Blythe asked, like, how is it different, you know, suddenly being in charge of, I think, what he referred to as a cadre of developers and content producers. And, you know, it seems like things have slowed down as a result of it, but what has actually happened is things have gotten so complicated that it requires that many people, and it's still slow. Because, you know, there's a lot more to lose now. I remember back in the day when, you know, PyMonkey deleted everybody's inventory, and I was like, shit, that sucks, kind of. But it wasn't like, shit, I am screwed, because, you know, people had years worth of work in this. I mean, there were like 1,000 accounts when that happened, you know. And I mean, the thing is, like, we can't afford to screw up the way we used to be able to. I can't afford to screw up the way I used to be able to. Like an item dupe now, depending on how fast we caught it, would really cause a lot of problems. I'm confident that after Black Sunday that you know, the game is such that it's not completely ruined if something like that happens. But it does some damage. You know, we got to spend a lot of resources and a lot of effort repairing stuff if it gets screwed up. So, you know, rolling out new mechanics just requires a lot more precision and care than it used to. And just because I think it's just kind of a principle of design that you don't have the energy to produce stuff and test it. Just the same way that nobody has the desire to create something and then document it, which is why, you know, programmers never want to write documentation. So, I mean, in a way, it's nice having some other people around to test stuff. But it also, you know, slows things down. Instead of just, like, me going in and writing something and rolling it out, and then a few people finding bugs, I mean, the thing is now there's, like, 1,000 people playing at any given time, so the bug is gonna spread fast and do some damage. But also, I feel good, though, about that level of safety. The Ascension content was both the largest single set of content that I ever rolled out, and it was probably the most dangerous set of content that I've ever rolled out, but it also was the smoothest rollout that has ever occurred, despite the fact that it was that complicated, because everything had been tested so thoroughly. I mean, it just wasn't, there weren't really any problems, and there could have been some bad ones. But, you know, it's just having the time and having you know, 7 or 8 other sets of eyes looking at it, is pretty helpful. Anyway, so this tangent I went off on because we were talking about the load balancer based on Morbank's question. So, it was a lot of rails that this runaway train went down. Okay, so we were talking about I was talking about this big change that was coming up in the company and how that will probably make it a lot quicker because Xenophobe and Hot Stuff are both very into the idea of eliminating lag. I think they experience it more acutely because they are actually players than I do, where I see it as sort of this abstract problem that probably should be solved. They see it as something that's like, look, this experience is crappy for people at certain times, and it shouldn't be. And I agree with them, and I should listen to them. So we're going to get new servers and co-locate them here in Phoenix. Well, there in Phoenix. I'm actually in Mesa, not Phoenix. But at that point, we will be able to sort of arbitrarily add new servers. So if I want to make a new database server that all it does is keep track of who's logged on, I can do that, and it won't interfere with the rest of the game at all. I mean, probably I won't do that because that's kind of a limited purpose, but so because of that, every time somebody loaded the login page, it was hitting that table and it was slowing things down even more. So that's why I've changed it to the way it is now, where basically there are 10 seconds where loading www will send you to www2, followed by 10 seconds where it'll send you to www3, followed by 10 seconds where it'll just leave you on www. There's like this little global variable that cycles the same script that's just running in an infinite loop, like clearing out old entries in the Who's Online table, is rotating the current server that you should log on to periodically, every 10 seconds. And the problem with picking it based on the load is that the load can change dramatically depending on what people are doing. And once you're logged on to one of the servers, you have to stay logged on to that particular server. Or, you know, you have to re-log on because it just the session is on a per-web server basis. The cool thing about that, though, is the more stuff we can dump from the database into the web server session, and the more stuff we can do encode on the web server, the more scalable the game becomes, because we can add an infinite number of web servers without really doing some extra work, but it's not like a lot of extra work the way adding database servers and migrating different features to different database servers is. So once we actually get control of the hardware, once I can get my hands physically on the machines that this game is running on, things are going to improve really dramatically. And it's gonna get scalable. I feel like people leave because it's slow. People leave because it's crowded, and I feel like they won't once it's fast, and I feel like there's going to be another big spike in growth. Especially because Comic-Con in San Diego convinced me, and I didn't believe this at all. I felt, and I don't know, I mean, a lot of this is the, just this sort of, I don't know, relics of, like, junior high low self-esteem, but I've always felt like pretty much everybody who would like Kingdom of Loathing already knows about it. Like, we've got saturation, you know, like there's people talking about it on Slashdot. There's been, you know, it's been on Fark, I think. It's been on Metafilter. You know, it's like there's pretty much coverage. Like, people who would be into this have found it, but the numbers seem to indicate otherwise. The numbers of people who are signing up every day, and it would also seem that based on the experience at Comic-Con in San Diego, where it was weird. a year ago, Mr. Skullhead and I went to Penny Arcade Expo, and out of maybe 4,000 people that were there, there were probably 70 or 80 who recognized our shirts and came up and talked to us. And at Comic-Con, there were probably 50,000 people there, and one person said something to me. It was like, hey, nice shirt. And I was like, hey, thanks. And so that leads me to believe that there are a tremendous number of people who would be into it that don't know about it. So there is the potential for a lot of growth. But the thing is, right now, we can't handle it. The servers are, you know, that you know what it's like. You guys play the game. You understand that it's slow. But the nice thing about having the boxes here is that we will be able to walk in there and say, like, oh, hey, we'd like to rent the rest of this rack now, and just throw five more web servers on, and then that's you know, significant increase in speed. And the more people that come in, the more donations come in, the more servers we can afford. So it's the kind of thing that sustains itself pretty nicely. Yeah, it's just it's overwhelming, you know. It's a lot of stuff that I don't know how to do, and that's one of the best things about this game for me, at least, is I've had to learn a lot about a lot of different things by kind of being the one who had to come up with the solutions to the problems, and so I've learned a lot more than I ever wanted to know about Unix administration. All right, let's get some more questions here. Jill Bob says, I don't mind the new numbering system in general, but since when does Chow Mein, according to the picture, come on plates? Perhaps change it to You Acquire X Dishes of Chow Mein. That's probably true. I forgot that it wasn't on plates. I think it's in, like, skillets. Ponja says, good luck, Jake. I'm staying up really late for this, so please make it good. Well, I'm trying. Let me see. Spininet says, do the damage absorption skills overlap? They don't overlap so much as they stack. If one thing gives you 30 absorption and one thing gives you 50 absorption, if you have both of those things, you have 80 absorption. Let's see. The Narpa says, hey, Jick, you said you required questions for your pre-record, so I sent you a bunch, like 60, but I think Sly nixed it. Or was that all a joke? No, it was. I got messages from you, the Narpa, in the forum PMs, and I was actually going to use that for probably a lot of the pre-record. Why don't... Man. After an hour of this, with another hour ahead of me, I don't know how enthusiastic I'm going to be about actually pre-recording that. A lot of people suggesting different names for the show. I will try, guys. I will. I got a pack, and I got a few more things I got to take care of. But we got some new shirt designs ordered today. So next week there will be we can do what the Homestar Runner guys do every once in a while that kind of bothers me, even though it really shouldn't. Which is, instead of adding new content to the game, we can post an announcement that's like, hey, new stuff for you to buy. But no, really, I it used to bother me until I actually thought about it, and then I was like, you know what? I am a total dick for demanding anything of those guys, because I've never given them a cent, and they've been doing all this work. I like the Homestar Runner guys. I just read there was an interview with them, which I think is actually kind of an old interview, but it was linked to from FARC as though it were a new one, but it's a good interview. It made me happy. Jules Denial suggests a name for the show, Jick's Sick Shtick, although I don't think I'd actually be able to say that. Paisley Daisy, which name I like, says, dear Jick, I think your solo show should be called Getting Jicky With It, and you could dub your name over Jiggy, and then you'd have your own theme song, too. Splendid. Yes, 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 says, hey Jick, any update on the new Seal Clubber skill that you mentioned pre-ascension? I've encountered kind of a philosophical crisis with that skill. We had an idea that the more that I think about it, the more confusing and unhappy I think it's going to be. So I need to figure out... At some point, there is going to be either one of the guys on the dev team is going to come up with something that's just like, oh, right, that is a perfect way of handling it, or I'm going to come up with something that it's like, oh, okay, that works and makes sense and is simple. You know, but don't hold your breath. I'm just saying. Don't hold your breath. Icarus Girl says, are you going to join the Lime Jello Wrestling at the KOL Seattle meets? Probably not. SPN Irology says, can you answer this question 30 minutes after the start of the show? What do you have planned for the next big thing in KOL, if anything? The next big thing is probably going to be the rollout of the guild quests. That, I'm going to wait until Riff is actually out here, which will happen probably within a month. He will actually be living here in the newly acquired Asymmetric Publications offices, and I think me and him and a whiteboard will come up with volumes of stuff, and that's probably the next like sizable rollout. There will be updates before then, certainly, because this is going to be another big chunk of content. Probably a set of quests at least as big as the set of quests that already exists in the game, but they'll all be optional. I mean, they'll be and a lot of them are going to vary class to class. You'll have a different sort of narrative depending on what class you are. They'll probably mostly take you to the same places, but they'll take you there for different reasons, and it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to writing it, really, and working with Riff on the design, because that guy is a clever motherfucker. Big Jake says, do you think that Ascension was a better idea than having a full game reset? I don't. In an ideal world, in a world where everything is great, I slipped into movie preview mode there for a minute. In an ideal world, we would have done a reset at the same time, but the number of people who would have understood that it was a good thing for the game and would have been willing to give up their stuff because it was good for the game was small enough that it would have done too much damage. I don't think I don't know. I think the game would have been a lot smaller and more sparsely populated for a long time had we done a reset, and it was big enough that we just couldn't. I mean, the other thing is, I used this to justify it at the time, and I still think that this is a reasonable justification. The game needs to be such that if something like that happens in the future, like Black Sunday, that the game can recover. And I think we've demonstrated that the game can recover. We have formed the game into something that can recover as a result of that adversity. And so, you know, it's, I don't know. The reset was a good idea at the time, but it just, it became implausible. And so, you know, yeah, we do what we do. It just kind of sucked. Like, if I ever do another game, I mean, when I do another game, which surely I will, there's going to be a beta, and there's going to be a beta that ends with a reset and is a real game, you know, again, like, and it's like, the problem with Kingdom of Loathing is that happens so gradually that, you know, I mean, now we have a base of people that we can get to test a game. Pardon me, a little bit of the hiccups there. Yeah. Yeah. All right, I guess I ran out of steam on that particular track. A lot of train metaphors. Yeah, a lot of train metaphors. Arika Muji says, this actually hasn't come up in a while. Someone was selling KOL items on eBay for real money. Is this legal, selling items from your free game for real money? I'm going to say the same thing about that I have always said, which is that if you buy stuff on eBay, you're doing so at your own risk. I mean, technically, everything in this game belongs to me. You know, I'm not going to say, no, you can't sell the effort required to get 50 million meat, or you can't sell a pencil. And, by the way, this pencil comes with a bonus of 50 million meat in Kingdom of Loathing. You know, because I don't see the reason... I don't see a compelling reason to spend any of my time and my energy going after that, you know, because it's what is it accomplishing? And, yeah, so, you know, if somebody screws you, I don't have your back. eBay doesn't have your back. My company doesn't have your back. It's, you know, do it at your own risk. Because it's not, there is no official thing. Armax says, maybe you should get a Thursday co-host for bantering purposes. I wondered if that was going to be an important thing. I don't know. Maybe we could do guest co-hosts, although it is just a million times easier, technically, to do this when you don't have to fuck with trying to get Skype to work alongside whatever broadcasting software you're using. That's the source of almost all of our technical problems, always. Cantry Boy says something that I feel is on a lot of people's minds. Hey, Jick, for the clan log, can you make it more organized, like set up in different sections? Example, stash, coming/going, clan administration. Have it up to the clan leader which style to use. I don't know about making it such that the clan leader can determine what gets logged and how the log gets displayed, but I would say that breaking it up into sections is certainly a good idea. And like I figured, you know, I put this out there because I feel like it's better than the log used to be, but it's not good, because it gets pretty messy. YQM asks if I know any coders that would be willing to help me on a project, and then says, actually, just tell people I need coding help if you could. So, if you're a coder and you want to help YQM, message YQM. Morbank says, hey, Jick, do you have a name for your tech radio show on Thursdays? Oh, well, this must have been from before the show started. How about Spade Radio with Uncle Jick? I thought about that, too. Well, not that specifically, but naming it something Spade, like calling all spades, or calling a spade, or I got spade, or got spade, or some other things that have the word spade in them. I don't want people to feel like they can't listen if they don't play the game exactly like we do. This is I want to plug. I wish I had the URL in front of me. I bet I can find it. If you go into the gameplay forums, I think you can find. Oh whoa! Ah wow! I kind of forgot that rollover is going to be in the middle of this show all the time. That's a little. God damn it! That's really going to suck because there's going to be a giant gap in the number of questions that come in. But, you know, I'm not really into the questions that are even coming. Yeah, and Thunkles says, and you might want to rethink running your Q&A show to cross rollover so we can't queue. Nah, crap. Well, you know what? All that is required to solve that is that I be a little long-winded at the beginning of the show, and I think I can probably pull that off. I've done it before. Been long-winded, that is. Thunkel says, thanks for the GMA fix. I'm very pleased, but can you explain the justification of washing the hardcore leaderboards every 2 months? They don't get washed every 2 months. This is something that Hot Stuff and I have argued about a lot. He feels like we should have seasons on the leaderboards that last a single KOL year. Like that every... It's 8 times 12. Every 96 days, the leaderboards get zeroed out. And, well, actually, every 96 days, a snapshot of the leaderboards gets taken and placed in the Canon Museum. And then the leaderboards zero out again. And my take on it is the way that it is now. I mean, I feel like this is a little better in that regard. Well, I mean, of course, I feel it's better because it was the way that I decided to do it instead of the way that he wanted it done. But which is basically any given record lasts for 60 days. So I don't know. Maybe people are. The way that Thunkel's worded this leads me to believe that he feels like the leaderboards are going to evaporate every 2 months. And that's really nothing happens every 2 months. It's just that a given record has a longevity of only 60 days. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. Like, we'll really have to see as the leaderboards mature what that's going to cause to happen. Because it's... I mean, I honestly feel like to a certain extent, people are just going to be constantly outdoing each other. As long as we don't do anything that suddenly makes it take longer to ascend, which is a concern, but it's a concern that we're all aware of. So we're not going to just, you know, sort of naively roll something out that it's like, oh shit, now hardcore takes 200 more turns than it used to. The reason that I wanted that is because I feel like in order to be on the leaderboards, you shouldn't just be able to do one... unassailable thing and then just have that position forever. I mean, if you want to be on there, you need to stay competitive. You need to stay active. And that's why, you know, after 60 days. I mean, right now, it so far has not been the case that anything would disappear because, you know, I don't think there are really Ascension leaderboards that are even more than like a couple weeks old because people keep doing better than people previously. And, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how people feel once it actually starts having a meaningful impact. Ambio says, what was with the extra long rollover last night? I had halted rollover the night before so that I could roll out the Gold Mr. Accessory code, and I forgot to remove the comments. I had commented out the line that lets people back on, and I'd forgot to uncomment that line for the next night, and then I just happened to get home and log on right when that was happening, so it wasn't that long, I don't think. Snorg suggests, and this is something that we'd actually thought about a long time ago, what about creating a clan buffet or cafeteria feature that would have a set of controls apart from the clan stash? The clan leader could set the policies for consumables in various ways, including karma-based, favor the weak, newbies, divide it all equally, or whatever. Clan members could be required to contribute to the kitchen or not, and contributions can be weighted against a player's level. I don't know that... I don't know. How do people feel about the existing karma system? Because I think the way that I changed it I feel like you have a certain amount of control, and maybe it would be better. Honestly, I feel like for the most part the clan stash gets used for consumables. So effectively we already have that, except that the only thing that you can base it on is karma. I mean, did I ever do the thing where you get a certain amount of... You give your ranks a certain amount of karma every day? I guess I probably didn't. Because I don't remember doing that. But that would be... that would be kind of nice if they could do that. Doppelheathen says, is that empty spot in the campground just above the hippie stone ever going to have something there? Probably someday. I mean, I left a blank so that we could put something else there. There was going to be another sort of element of PvP that was part of the Ascension content that, given the way PvP is, I didn't feel like it was really well developed anymore. Like, the idea wasn't very good, so we just kind of skipped it and added some other stuff. Let's see. Is there a chance, says Ambios, we would be able to see who has bleeded us? I've never wanted to put that together. I've never wanted to put that feature in because I feel like, you know, it's not that important to know, and really, for the most part, all it's going to do is hurt people's feelings to find out that you're on somebody's ignore list. And, yeah, I don't think so. I feel like it is time for me to go to the bathroom, but I feel like I should play a song while I'm in the bathroom. And I'm looking through my songs some more. What to play? I should have gotten some songs ready before I did this. How about some Verve Pipe with The Freshman? Yeah, that sounds good.
When I was young, I knew everything. She, a punk, who rarely ever took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stopping baby's breath and a shoe full of rice. No, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember. this thing, then we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen. Our best friends took a week's vacation to forget her. School took a week's worth of Valium and slap, and now he's guilt-stricken, sobbing with his head on the floor. Thanks about him knowing how he never really wept, he said. He held responsible. She was touching her face. I won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never got in time. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die.
Song, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. All right, looks like once the show actually got started, a lot of the questions that came in are getting to be a lot more techy, which is cool with me. I like it a lot. I wish I could figure out why my microphone levels are so low. I'm gonna see what I can do here. Options, properties, playback, recording. Okay. Too much. Okay, sorry about that. See, one of the problems... Alright, I've turned on the microphone boost, so let's see how that is. I'm sure that Miranda, who I still have an AIM conversation open with, will tell me if it's screwed up. I'm also getting weird echo in my speaker, so I have to turn the volume down, so I'm basing the volume of... the volume that I perceive in my speech entirely on the green bars that are bouncing up and down in the broadcaster program. So let's hope that's better, although it seems to be capping out at something now, which is a little strange. Anyway, we'll see. I hope that I'm not way too loud for everyone now. I really do. Okay. Ace Troubleshooter says, I am creating my own turn-based RPG, and like Corey did, I'm going to ask you if you were okay with it. Corey being the guy who made Teyard. And, yeah, of course I'm okay with it. You don't have to... If you...
if you play Kingdom of Loathing and you like it and you want to make a game, you don't have to ask permission. I mean, I didn't ask Seth Robinson permission when I wanted to make a game after I played Legend of the Red Dragon. You know, I mean, it's just, yes, of course. Like, everybody starts out imitating somebody else's stuff. I mean, that's the way that the sort of creative lifespan of somebody works, you know? I mean, yes, make a game, please. I want people to make games. I mean, one of the things that I'm very happy to have accomplished with this is to sort of demonstrate, like, hey, look, one guy can make a game and people will play it, and then you know, it'll become this big thing. It's like still possible for you know, an indie game to exist and to be cool. You know, I mean, it's got to be pretty lo-fi, I guess, but hey, such it is. Moy Figulo says, do you use a standard random number generator that chooses a number randomly within a field, or something fancier like a number generator that plots to a bell curve? For the most part, everything that happens uses a standard random number generator. There are a few times when it gets adjusted. There are certain cases in which I want to enforce a certain average. And in those cases, I kind of stack two calls of the number generator onto one another to make it so... I mean, because, you know, you can't... Let's see. What is it that you can't do? You can't pick an integer range that will have, like, a 2.75 average. But you can, you know, write a function that's going to give you a distribution of numbers that overall have a 2.75 average. So there are times when I do that. I need to write a function that will generate a random number that conforms to a... the distribution conforms to a bell curve, because, like, the multi-use on stuff, that if you used it over and over and over again, the number of, you know, say, items you would get out of a penultimate fantasy chest would conform to a bell curve, whereas now they don't. It's just, you're just as likely to get very, very few items as you are to get very, very many, which the average is the same, but the distribution is shaped very differently. Arcone says, how does spell damage work in comparison to mysticality? Basically, every direct damage spell, everything that you would think of as a spell, I mean, where you're, you know, waving your hands and then a beam of whatever, or a, you know, a cone of whatever hits your opponent in the face, those, they do damage within a certain random value, and then your mysticality adds to the amount of damage that they do up to a certain cap. And as the skills go up in power, the cap goes up, and each class that has a direct damage skill has one that does not cap. It's based on your mysticality and just gets higher and higher in damage the more your mysticality goes up. And they're usually the top-end skills. And in fact, I think they're always the top-end damage skills. I don't remember specifically what skills they are because I get the names mixed up, but I always look at, you know, right, I can see them. Yeah. Arcone says, please balance the schnapps. For the love of God, think about the schnapps. Is there something wrong with the way the schnapps works? Because that's something that's kind of outside of the system. There are a few drinks that don't fit into the neat categorizations of the new booze system. And if you look at, like, Visual KOL, I'm gonna give another plug for that. KOL.thrarin.org, that being KOL.thrarin.org. And then, like, a forward slash if you want, but you don't have to. Same way that you don't really need the http://// in the beginning. If you look at that, that'll show you which drinks conform to the nice system and which ones don't. The schnapps are definitely outside of that system. But I don't know that there's necessarily anything super wrong with that. I don't know. Let's see. Blind Chaos 13 says, I have an idea. Make having a hangover an effect like goofball withdrawal, at least having 20 drunkenness or more. I don't like that idea because, as I've said in many shows in the past, I don't think that it really reflects reality. Because, personally, I can drink, you know, 20 beers in one day and not get a hangover. But if I drink, like, 25, I'm going to have a horrible hangover. So, I mean, the game just prevents you from drinking enough that you would actually get a hangover, so I see no reason to code, The Hangover. Y-Have says, Primavera Angel here, the ghoul goulash in Little Canada. I saw one day where Little Canada had that and the gnomes had especially salty dogs and was wondering if perhaps the goulash should be there. I'm assuming you're saying that because the goulash is very crappy. But that's sort of part of the charm of that mechanism, that restaurant there. You know, sometimes it's going to have good stuff and sometimes it's going to have bad stuff. And, you know, yeah. I like it the way it is. Lil Jumper says, Jit, can you please play some seventh inning stretch music during rollover? I don't want there to be like a 15 or 17 or however many minutes rollover's been taken these days gap in the middle of the show. So I think, I mean, I didn't even notice it until it was almost over today. So I think we'll probably be okay. If I'd been thinking, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have scheduled this when I did, but I, you know, the thing is, on Mondays, this show always sneaks up on me, and I'm always, like, in the middle of getting a lot of stuff done, and I have to stop getting stuff done to do the show, and I scheduled this later so that that wouldn't happen, and, yeah, it's good. Boopy says, a big thing for me that makes cocktail crafting less attractive is that Disco Bandit drink ingredients are much tougher to come by, and the 3 per day only gets you up to 12 drunkenness, whereas 3 noodles gets you 15 fullness worth of chow mains, or with stomach, 3 noodles plus 3 agents is 18 fullness of saucy pastas, with far, far less effort than making a day of Disco Bandit booze. Man, that's a good point. Having those third tier of drinks reliant on having the specific Disco Bandit skill, and basically, in hardcore, you can't afford to farm the good drink ingredients at the shore. Yeah, that's part of it. Let's see. Shadows Light says there are two schools of speed ascensions, Moxie No Path or Teetotaler Muscle Mysticality. Personally, I've done all Teetotaler and I'm keeping up with the No Pathers. Yeah, that's good. Snack Admiral says it's great to have equipment power visible in the inventory now. It would be greater to sort them by power. Yeah, that's something I should do. Just in the equipment pane, have an option where you can either sort by name or sort by power on. I mean, it would have to apply to everything, and like, it would get confusing on accessories because accessories have a power level that's just invisible that determines the stat requirements for equipping them. Let's see. Club and Carry says, why not allow an item to appear in multiple sections? Well, because I don't want to. That's, yeah. I don't like the idea of that stuff being in there. Shadows Light says, the teetotaler path is easier because it's easier to eat to your max each day than to drink to your max each day without the microbrewery. Well, that's true. Let's see. Now, this is the point in the show where I start stammering and reading through questions to see. Ashelon says, please adjust the links on the maintenance page so that it can either tell you when the game is back up or take you to the main page without having to readjust the URL. Please. Alright. The reason that I don't have a link on there to see, and the reason that I don't have the maintenance page check, is because whether or not the game is down is stored in the database. And I don't want people just repeatedly hammering on the thing to check to see whether it's back up, which hits the database, which defeats the purpose of there being nobody logged on. What I might want to do is make it so that flag is either stored on the secondary database, so most of rollover won't take any longer if people are hammering on it, or make it so it's based on like the existence of some file or something, rather than actually having to hit the database, so that the web server slow down, but not the database server. Because I realize that's not ideal, but it's just it's a conscious effort to not have it show whether it's up or not. It's it's because sorry, I started reading again and I forgot what I was talking about. It's because rollover needs to happen when there's nobody hitting the database, and having a link that would that would allow you to just constantly check whether or not the server was back up according to that table in the database would make that not the case anymore. So that's why. I'm the Big Chief says, from what I can tell, all, or certainly most of the dev team, are spade-type players with some heart mixed in. There doesn't seem to be much representation for the diamonds. I don't know that that's... I think Xenophobe is pretty much pure diamond. The other guys, I mean, if I were to pick a secondary one for myself, it does tend to be diamond. I want to plug the bar KOL test, but I don't think I have the URL handy. I meant to do this earlier. The other problem with these shows is that when I start doing the show, I start drinking, and I become a lot more easily distracted about two beers in. Although I was reading, there was some study today that I read that says that drinking a drink or two a day actually makes you cleverer, which I would like to believe. And I would like to believe that drinking six or eight makes you even more cleverer. I think it was in the gameplay? Where is the... I don't know where the link is to the bar KOL page that me, Grimlock, and one of the other Rye guys, and I'm very sorry that I've forgotten which one and can't tell you. Frazzlehoon invites Radio Bugbear to join Alliance from Hell. You know you want to, you can see my boobs. Frazzlehoon was talking about showing us his boobs in the package that he sent, which included a hoverboard. I'm really enjoying the hoverboard. It allows me to get from place to place when I'm too lazy to walk, just as Frazzlehoon and Shark Eater suggested that it would be. C-Spark says, maybe you can determine with ranks who can view which section of the log. Also, I want to mention that Got Spade was a cool name. Vlad Tepes suggests Spade and Neutered, which I was hoping there'd be some play on that. Pinecat asks, would it be possible to have a KOL coffee mug for sale? And yes, actually, Mr. Skullhead looked into that, and I believe we got... You know, we didn't get a quote, but we got pricing information from the same guy who does our glassware. I just placed another order because we sold out of pint glasses. Everybody was pretty excited about the pint glasses, apparently. So, got some more of those coming in. Got some more stickers. I took the shirts down to the printer today for replacement shirts, larger sized and smaller sized shirts. So there's going to be some people happy about that, I think. And two new designs, which one of them I used an image program, you know, like the same thing I use to scan and crop and resize stuff and whatever, to make a little mock-up of this shirt. And just looking at the picture of the shirt gave me a huge shirt boner for it, because it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited about the one of the new designs, and I can't wait for everybody to see it. We're looking at doing Kingdom of Loathing coffee mugs, or probably one with just the Sword and Martini guy, and then maybe one with the coffee pixie on it, and maybe the coffee pixie haiku on the back. Let's see. Well, okay. I'm down. Doobie-doo-down-down. Looks like I may need to do one more. Oh, Kermit24 says, Freshman is my all-time fave song ever. Awesome. Arcone suggests making a second radio multi specifically for this show to avoid excessive PMs and confusion. My plan is to save off questions. If I read stuff and decide that it would be more appropriate for the Monday show than this show, my plan is to save them off in a forum post that both Skullhead and I can see when we start going on there and on Monday. Merrick says, Hello, Jick. I was thinking that the third test for the Muscle Guild is to eat a steak in some amount of time. Wouldn't this be impossible for Oxygenarians? Well, no, because the guild buildings are actually sort of sophisticated magical versions of the holodeck from Star Trek. So the same reason that it doesn't give you any fullness eating that steak, it doesn't count as eating if you're Oxygenarian. You're just pretending to eat. Why it's harder... than eating other stuff, why it's a challenge to actually eat it if it doesn't exist, I'm not telling you. There are secrets to the way these magical holodecks work. Thrarin thanks me for the unsolicited advertisement. Let's see. Curie says, on the radio once, you had alluded to the monster stats resembling muscle and moxie. Would you care for any further elaboration as to how battle damage calculates? Power equals not... Yes, I wonder if Curie follows that up later. I guess not. Okay. If you mean the damage that is done by you when you hit with a weapon, yes. Okay, sorry, I got distracted by Instant Messenger. There is a formula that determines the amount of damage that a weapon does based on its power. And it changed. It changed when we rolled out the code for Ascension to basically make it so they do more damage than they used to. It used to just be like a 200 power weapon would do like 10 to 20 damage. A 50 power weapon would do 2.5 to 5, which I think was effectively 3 to 5, the way the random number generator works, the way MT_rand works in PHP, which is what is used for everything, because that's the improved random number generator. Now it's a little different. It scales up to a certain extent. So a 200 power weapon will do more than 20 damage base. Then any damage bonuses you have get applied. Then critical hits get applied. Then any damage multiplication skills you might be using get applied. And then the difference between your muscle and the monster's moxie gets added to the damage. Yeah. That's how damage works in combat. Morbank says... I noticed that booze simply shares no parallel with food. For example, you can buy One Adventure foods from NPC stores or gift shop, yet not ice-cold beer. You might want to try to bridge this gap by adding Simply Gotten Booze a la NPC other than the fermenting solution rate, which is way costly, or stores, or put in more drink ingredient like drops with the... And then that's it. No, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Partially, I think what needs to be done is it needs to be made a little bit easier to put the bartender in the box together. And yeah, you're right. I mean, there should be, you know, the tavern doesn't really count. The tavern gives you better stat gains, but it doesn't give you any extra adventures for drinking. But yeah, I mean, it used to be that, you know, ice cold beer was so plentiful in clans. It still drops in some places, in the Haiku dungeon, but I guess there's no other reason to go there. You would never want to go there in hardcore. Oh, I see. The Narpus explains PVA's comment. The goulash was a question because it was involved with a trophy. He was saying that was an uber easy way for that trophy if you didn't already have it. Well, except it's really not, because, well, unless one day's worth of that gives you the trophy. I don't remember how many you have to eat. I don't think it does, though. I mean, with something like the brownies, you know, whatever, fine. You can have a little bonus day. I specifically chose not to exclude the trophy foods from the list of foods that can come up in the restaurant in Canada. Yeah. Zephyr Phoenix says, should there be another chow main? There's one for each main stat, one for muscle moxie and one for mysticality muscle, but there's no there's the mysticality moxie combo that seems to be missing one. Yeah, maybe there should be. I don't know. Where it would go. Bob the T says, hey, spices are extremely useful but still relatively expensive. Could you put them in a shop? Maybe even a post-ascension area so as to decrease the price? No. I like the spice drop rates the way they are. Because after all, he who controls the spice controls the universe, and control of the universe is not for sale. Bob the T says, hey, no, yeah. Bob the T says, hey, spices are extremely useful but still relatively expensive, and, Jick says, I think I have a deja vu. Let's see. Keith Jr. says, about the load balancing, I've read some information on setting session saving to a shared drive so that any server loads the same session file. That's a thought. Yeah, that actually is a thought. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, all you would have to do would be to set up, like, an NFS mount on one box and then, tell all the PHP builds on all of the web servers to look at that directory for the session handling. That's a pretty good idea, because then we could just use an out-of-the-box load balancer and it would just work. the way that it was supposed to. That, huh, that's awesome. Thank you, Keith Jr. I hope somebody writes that down, because I'm not. All right. Ashlon says, okay, good point. Then what about when rollover is finished, have the game kick anyone who is on main.php to update to the login page automatically? Timed update. That is interesting. To have a different version of main.php pushed out at the end of rollover that redirects back to the login page. That's a good idea. Because then it would tell people. Let's see. Metaphor Whore says, I really like the slash last chat feature, but sometimes would like to check my last few messages from a certain player. Any chance of, say, a slash last jick? That is not a bad idea. Yeah. Agent Lex says, I've bumped the Barcole thread for you. Now you have no reason not to plug it. Let's find the Barcole plug. And it was Agent Lex, was the other guy, in addition to me, Grimlock. Okay. Agent Lex, who is right, Eltneg. And it is on purpose that Agent Lex also says a gentle X. Everybody else told me I was crazy, even though I know somebody explained to me and told me that it was on purpose. Yeah, so go to the gameplay forum and the thread, What Type of KOL Player Are You? Links to their excellent Kingdom of Loathing reissue of the Bartle Test, which divides players into... this is something that JLE always gets mad about, because he doesn't like such a rigid taxonomy. Rigid. It rates you on sort of four axes, and those axes, for those of you who don't know about this, it's Richard Bartle, who was one of the early MUD guys and who was still pretty active in sort of writing stuff and doing more of some academic view of virtual world stuff. He's got an article that's linked to on the front page, I believe, of Game Girl Advance, which, you know, I don't read that site, but every once in a while I get linked to an article on there that's really good, and it leads me to believe that I should read that site. But I always forget, like, when I'm just going through my regular, like, Something Awful, Penny Arcade, FARC, /, you know, reading the web, I never go to Game Girl Advance, but I probably should. Maybe I'll scratch it into my thigh with a pocket knife or something, so that I'll remember next time. But there's a link to an article by him about, like, voice chat and how he thinks the voice chat in virtual worlds is a bad idea. So yeah, I mean, which is why basically any Xbox MMO is going to suck. But you know what I was realizing the other day is I tend to think of the Xbox as a console that's broken because my Xbox is screwed up. And I was like, a game is coming out, but it's for the Xbox. I'm not going to get it because all of my Xbox controllers have broken. And I don't know if it's the hard drive. I really hope not. But one of the moving parts inside the Xbox is worn out and is making just a god-awful noise whenever the Xbox is turned on. And I'm hoping it's just when the game spins up that it does it. But, yeah. Problems with the Xbox. Anyway, Bartle decided a long time ago that there needed to be a way of sort of categorizing the different reasons that people play, you know, what was effectively the precursors to MMOs and the sort of side cursors now. And I would say that Kingdom of Loathing is a lot more of a MUD than it is an MMO. It lends a lot more of its mechanics to that kind of game. And in its, you know, sort of text-basedness, it is certainly more similar to that kind of thing than anything else, you know, than it is to, like, EverQuest. But, all right, so spades, diamonds, clubs, and hearts are the sort of different motivation styles for playing games. Clubs are people who want to hit other people in the head with things. PvPers, griefers. Not necessarily griefers, but some of them are griefers. Hearts are the socializers. People who want to give stuff away, want to be nice to people, want to hang out and chat, want to hang out in the forums. Spades are people like me. I always turn out just pretty much 100% spade, who are into figuring out the game mechanics, like exploring the systems that exist and exploring the places that exist and, you know, just figuring out how the game works. And diamonds are... diamonds, I always get a little bit confused about exactly what it's supposed to be, because I think of diamonds as people who want to be on leaderboards, people who want to have the best stuff, people who want to have a lot of stuff. because the diamond is kind of treasury, you know. The spade is like a shovel that you use to dig up information, and the club is like a shamrock that you hit people with, and the heart is like, you know, a less than three. So, yeah, there was the Bartle test, which tells you which one of those you are, but what me, Grimlock, and a Gentle X have done is to update that test and make it, it sort of has KOL appropriate questions to it now, and it works a little differently. The actual testing methodology is a little different because there was a sort of established multi-axis setup that the Bartle test used, where every question has only two options, and they do a little bit of stuff where, like, certain questions will have four options, and each one of them will have a sort of different value of, like, how much of a heart that makes you, or how much of a club that makes you. So it's a little different than the way that the Bartle's turns out, but it's awesome. They've categorized it into these sort of interesting. They made these little labels that you get, like, when you take online tests that, like, you know, I'm the pure spade, just like, who am I just like? I guess I'm just like Boozer Bear? Maybe? I don't remember. Well, I think Boozer Bear has some diamond tendencies. I think he wants to have shiny stuff out there. He's gotten out of it now, you know, he's tired of all the attention, I think, but, yeah. Anyway, so go to the gameplay forum. The thread is, what type of KOL player are you? And take the test and post your results, if you haven't already. And now I'm going to reload the questions again. Getting kind of close to the end here. FAQ says, will Crackrox the Barbarian ever be an NPC in the game? Probably not. But you never know. SPN Urology says, I'm wondering how many people are on the server on average and how much bandwidth would be devoted to each player. Bandwidth is almost not an issue at all with us because everything is so, so tiny. All of the, you know, the item images are like 150 bytes and the adventure images are maybe a kilobyte. You know, there's we've never really had problems bandwidth wise. We're going to be able to run this entire thing, which, and I feel like this is pretty unheard of for the level of users that we have. It's looking like we're going to be able to run the entire deal on like a 5 megabit connection, which is cool because it's cheap. But yeah, so I don't know. Doppelheathen says, how about an ascension path where you can't use any spleen items? Well, that's interesting, but I don't know that it needs... I don't know that it needs its own path. The problem with the paths is that they multiply the number of leaderboards that there need to be, you know? The problem with me is that I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, by which I mean talk and check IM. I've never, I'm not going to say I never have, because I have a few times done actual radio shows, but paying attention to handoffs and stuff is tricky. Okay, Kiri did actually send some follow-ups to that question, asking about the combat damage. Redoran says, does the power of clothing actually affect how much damage we take? Yes, it does, especially at low levels. Rhubarb Dream says, would you ever put total sex changes in the weird section on the Hall of Records based on the adventure in the back alley? That's kind of funny, actually. Yeah. Tears asks, as have a few other people, are you guys hiring? And smiles. No, not now. There's been a big expansion, and we're in okay shape right now. We'll have to see how this goes. Give it a year. Maybe we'll be hiring in a year. Icarus Girl says, has the shore been changed to drop more items on stat days, or is it just that the RNG hates me? It hasn't been changed. Nothing has changed. Draconil says, care to answer by chance you might fix the familiar of the month? It seems way underpowered for the absurd cost. A friend of mine just bought one, sucks in hardcore oxy because it costs so much mana at 20 pounds. He says, well, I mean, it is... If it didn't have that cost, it would be hands down the most desirable familiar in the game, and it would be totally overpowered. And that's why there's the big cost. I mean, it's Yeah, that's so. I feel like it's pretty well balanced the way that it is. Mezzle Squeak says, can someone be half a heart and half a spade, for example? Absolutely. And that's something, you know, JLE doesn't like it when we talk about, you know, we're doing this for the spades, we're doing this for the hearts, we're doing this for the clubs. But he doesn't realize, I think, that we are thinking of it the way that it is actually, you know, the way that it actually works, where, you know, when I say I'm doing this for the clubs and doing this for the hearts, sometimes that's going to be the same people. Although, I think club heart is kind of a rarish combination. But, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. You can be, I mean, you can be everything, you know. If you, you enjoy every aspect of the game. You like socializing, you like collecting stuff, you like finding stuff, and you like beating people up. Then you're a spade club diamond heart. Like, you're like a bowl of Lucky Charms, man. Oh, let's see. I'm maybe gonna. Huh. I think I'm kind of out of questions that I can answer. C-Spark says, though, someone who is hardcore Oxy was telling me repeatedly how much he loved the Bugbear earlier. Well, there you go. I mean, it's... I mean, I feel like, you know, something that we talk about a lot is the more choices you have to make, the better the game is going to be. And, you know, this is a choice. Whether or not it's worth it to you to spend the mana to have that kick-ass familiar is another choice that you have to make. And so, you know, there you go. To some people it's going to be worth it, to some people it's not. And, that's just kind of how it goes. I am reluctant to dip into the questions that have come up in this forum thread where I was asking for questions to do the pre-recorded show, and I gotta tell you, I'm running out of steam. If I don't get my second wind in a couple hours, I may just end up pasting together some greatest hits from other shows, or, you know, I may end up doing nothing at all, which would be a real dick move on my part. But I'll try. I'll try and record something. We'll see. Might be a little easier if I can, like, take breaks in between asking, answering questions. And I might throw some songs into the recording, too. I have a feeling, though, that it's time for me to stop for the night and play a couple songs and give away the radio to Space Monkey, who's coming up next. And, I don't know, thanks everybody for listening. I feel like this went pretty well as the initial run of the Jick Show, which I promise to try to come up with a name by next week. And, alright, so I think what I'm going to play is a Tori Amos song, followed by a Jason Webley song, which Jason Webley's good. I was introduced to him recently, and yeah, good stuff. So, alright everybody, talk to you next Thursday.
I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Ginger is always sincere, just not one man. She called me up and she said, you know that I'm drowning. It's the dog trainer again. Says that he thinks that she needs more. I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Senator, let's be sincere as much as you can. He called her up and he said, the new prosecutor soon will be wanting a word. So she's got a soft spot for youth and spurs and behaves. Something believing in her voice again said, there's something believing. Instead of just leaving, instead of just leaving, instead of just leaving, I'm sure I get testicles from the sweet diamond. I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Oh, Heidi, so she'll be sincere as much as she can. I called her up and I said, you know that I'm drowning. I put on your raincoat again, 'cause even the sun's got a price on it. And something believing in her voice again said, instead of just leaving. She said it's time to open my eyes. Don't be afraid to open your eyes. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. I think it's perfectly clear we're in the wrong band. Ginger is always.
Ah, sorry about that, everybody. Okay, apparently the, Jason Webley song is not going to play because it's got some kind of DRM crap. How dare they try to get us to pay for stuff that should be paid for. Alright, well, let me try and find a new song. And then I'll hand off to Space Monkey, who is indeed coming up next. But it sucks that I can't play that Jason Webley song for you, because it's a good song. Let's see. Alright, I'm going to make Mr. Skellet very mad by, what I'm going to play is this this cover of Take On Me by a guy who I like, but Mr. Skellet believes that he cannot sing at all and should absolutely never release a song to the public. So here's this cover of Take On Me, and I gotta admit, it does get pretty intolerable at the end. Like, he just kind of starts freaking out on the high notes and can't really pull it off, but in the beginning, it's good. So, alright. Good night, kids.